Well, on the 23rd of April this year, a royal baby was born. Does anyone remember who it was? Prince Louis. Yeah, it was Prince Louis. And his birth, Prince Louis's birth, was announced to the world over media. And I guess that birth was met with all sorts of reactions. Maybe if you're the sort of person who's gripped with royal fever, it may have been this long-anticipated moment. Prince Louis arrived. I even read about people who held Prince Louis parties, which is quite an interesting thing. And people even made the trip to London to see Prince Louis leave the hospital and make his journey home. But I guess most of you, if you're like me, you kind of heard that on the news and you thought, oh, that's nice. And then you just cracked on with the rest of your day. Even though perhaps distantly, somewhere down the line, this royal baby may have some kind of say over our lives and the country in which we live. I wonder what your reaction was to the news that Prince Louis had been born. But as we've just read the Christmas story, actually, what have we read? We've read the announcement of the birth of a royal baby. We've read the announcement of someone who is greater than Prince Louis, someone whose origins are not of this world, but of heavenly origins, the Son of God. And I guess I want to ask you very personally this evening as we read the Christmas story together, what kind of a reaction does Jesus get from you? As we read of this birth story, what is going on in your head and your heart as we hear about who Jesus is in these birth narratives? The final story that we had read to us, which is the story of the wise men or the magi, is a story that revolves around the announcement of this royal birth. It begins with a cosmic announcement. It's quite spectacular, a star in the sky. I mean, that's a pretty spectacular way. This is pre-social media. This is pre-kind of the internet, pre-TV. So what do? Well, you bung a star in the sky. And actually, as we go through this wise men's story, we begin to understand something of the caliber, something of the greatness, the difference of the leader that Jesus would be. I don't know if you picked up as we read through, but he gains titles like the Christ, the Messiah. That's this kind of shadowy promised figure who would be a warrior, a savior. He picked up the name Ruler. Ruler is someone who will lead us and guide us and give us direction. We boy need a bit of that in our country at the moment, don't we? And he also picks up the title of the one who will shepherd his people. We don't kind of live really in a shepherding world anymore, but a shepherd is someone who will tend and look after his people. And as we read this story of the wise men, I want to show you just very briefly this evening that it puts before us three potential reactions that any of us in this room might have to the announcement of Jesus as God's royal ruler, the announcement that there's a new leader in town. And here it is. Hopefully they'll come up on the screen in a moment or two. But the first reaction I want us to think about this evening is this. The first reaction is being disturbed. The wise men, the magi, they follow this star. They follow it from the east. They arrive at Jerusalem. That's where it leaves them using their navigation techniques. And they go looking for a king. So a natural place to go would be a palace. And they arrive at the palace and they meet a king named Herod. And as they encounter Herod, they ask the question, well, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? To which Herod, listen to his reaction. This is what happened. In fact, I'm just going to go over here to read it. This is what he said. Where is the one? When King Herod heard this, it says he was disturbed. He was disturbed. That word literally means he was troubled. That's if you think about a fizz bottle, we're going to probably have lots of that in the next few days. But if you shake up a fizz bottle, it goes really tight, really tense. It's all kind of bubbly on the inside. That's what happened to Herod when he heard about the birth of Jesus. Now, why did he have that reaction? Well, he had that reaction because Jesus is the one who threatened his throne, his perceived right to rule over both himself and others. Herod was a man who, like many of us, I guess, just wants to do things his way. He's a man who wanted to be a ruler rather than to be ruled. And here's the first reaction that I guess people might have, and maybe even some of us here might have, to the announcement that Jesus, God's Son, the royal ruler, has been born. We might be disturbed. Certainly, if you're beginning to understand anything of the significance of who Jesus is, it may trouble you. Now, why might it get that reaction? Because actually, if we begin to understand something of Jesus, it may mean that we need to get off the little thrones of our life and submit to him. And it threatens us. I don't want to do what someone else says. I want to do what I want to do. And such a reaction, you see, in Herod, in the story, we didn't get to read that far, but it actually drives him to do some pretty horrendous things. It drives him to slaughter all the boys in Bethlehem. See, that's how much he wants to maintain his right to rule. It's disturbed him, and he makes war to keep his throne. And actually, that's the reaction that Jesus then gets through the rest of his life. If you go on to read the rest of the Gospels, we're just reading the very first part of the story, but if you read on, you'll just see that throughout his life, Jesus is constantly confronted with people who are disturbed and threatened by his being there. And actually, that's what led people eventually to nail him to a cross, because they were threatened. They were threatened by him. But actually, we mustn't be fooled, because even in people warring against Jesus, even in nailing him to a cross, they didn't win. He was crucified, the Bible tells us, to save people. He was raised to life, and the Bible tells us that he's now exalted to the highest place with the name that is above every name. He really is this ruler that was announced to us in the Christmas story. And friends, I want you to understand that as we come to Christmas story, if you begin to get your head around anything of who Jesus says he is, then this is still the reaction that he might get today. Can I ask you this evening, is that you? Do you connect perhaps with that reaction as you read the Christmas story? Are you disturbed by what you read? Second reaction, perhaps you might connect more with this one, is indifferent. Herod's He's troubled by this, so he calls together, I guess I want to call them the Bible boffins, the guys who would really know their Bibles very well. And he calls them together, and he asks them a question. He says, well, look, guys, where is this one to be born? Where is this Christ going to be born? And listen to what they say. Without hesitation, they say, Bethlehem. You see, these are guys who know the story. Hundreds of years, we read some of those promises. Hundreds of years before Jesus came, God promised that he would send someone. They knew it. They know the story. They have all the information. And yet, who would you then expect to be the first in the queue to go and see this baby? Who would you expect to be kind of darting out the door of the palace in Jerusalem, running down the road to Bethlehem to see this baby? Because this is the one that God promised to send. This is the one who has authority and power, and he's going to be a good leader. Well, certainly wasn't these guys. There was no recorded activity. They're just totally indifferent. You see, there's a danger, isn't there? I don't know if you've kind of seen photos this year, or maybe you've given a card away with the picture of the nativity scene on it. It's very striking, isn't it, that there are no Bible boffins in the nativity scene. There are no leaders. They're just totally indifferent. And sadly, that's the reaction that Jesus still gets by many of us at Christmas. We know the story. Some of us could even stand up the front here and tell the story to everybody. But we haven't done anything about it. See, maybe you've been to carol services here year after year. Maybe you've sat in this room hundreds of times on a Sunday, and you've heard it. You've heard who Jesus is, but you've done nothing about it. I guess it's a bit like the reaction that I gave to the birth of Prince Louis. Oh, that's nice. You know, lots of us feel like that about Christmas, don't we? Oh, that's nice. But actually, we've missed the point. We've missed who this man is. We've never perhaps done something with what we've heard at Christmas. We've never got up and gone and rushed down, as it were, to see this Jesus and to submit to him as God's royal ruler. Is that you tonight? Do you connect with that kind of reaction to Jesus, indifference? I mean, maybe even you're sitting here and you've switched off. You're just thinking, when's that guy going to stop going on? Maybe that's you this evening. Beware of the danger of knowing lots about Jesus, but doing nothing with it. Which then begs the question, doesn't it really? What is the right reaction to the Christmas story? What is the right reaction to Jesus? And that's where the wise men help us, or the magi, as they're actually called. Because they lead us to the response of joyful worship. The magi, the wise men, they are the ones who react in the right way. Let me just reread to you the last part of the story. It says this: after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You see, having sought Jesus out, and we don't know exactly how far they traveled, but it's a pretty long way. Having sought Jesus out and gone to all this effort to find him, they come to the place where he was, and they worshipped him. In the ancient world, I guess this is a bit different to the community we live in, but in the ancient world, when you entered into the presence of greatness, of a kingly figure, you would bow down before them. I guess it would be the equivalent of us giving a little bow to the queen or a little curtsy or whatever it would be. But it was far more significant than that. You see, this word worship that we have in the Bible, it literally means to prostrate yourself. In the original language, it has this word to kiss in it as well, this sense of to kiss the king. And it's an act of dependence, of gesturing and of attitude to say, look, I totally depend upon you. And I totally submit to you. Those two key words, dependence and submission. And these men, these wise men, model to us the right reaction to the Christmas story. They come, they've got so little to go on. And friends, just take note of that. You don't need much to go on to come to Jesus with the right reaction. All they had was a star in the sky, and they followed it a long way. But they come to Jesus, and they bow down, and they worship him. They express to him their total dependence and their total submission. And did you notice that as we read the story, this is done not out of sense of duty? You know, so many people kind of treat like kind of Jesus as a sort of, oh, I've got to do what he says. But this was no sense of duty in these men. They were overjoyed to do it because they'd begun to grasp who Jesus was. And they'd begun to grasp how good he was. And so they come with exceeding joy, and they worship Jesus. And we often call them the wise men. But I want to just put before you that this is the wisdom of worship. Is that the reaction that you guys will have to Jesus this Christmas? Have you ever listened to the story and thought, you know what? This is someone that I've got to give a little bit more of my attention to. Have you ever listened to the story and thought, here's someone that I've got to say, look, I depend on you and I submit to you? See, has the joy of Jesus ever gripped you yet? That you would willingly, as it were, get off the kind of little throne which we sit on in our own lives and say, Jesus, it's all yours. Have you ever got off the little throne and said, Jesus, I depend on you. I depend on what you came into this world to do. I depend on the fact that you came into this world and you went to a cross so that someone like me could be forgiven. I've lived my whole life like I don't want God to be in charge. But Jesus came to do something about it. Jesus, I depend on you. And Jesus, I submit to you. Jesus, the way you tell me to do life is the best way. And I want to do what you say. So can I ask you this Christmas? What kind of a reaction will Jesus get from you? Will it be a disturbed reaction? Oh, I don't want to listen to all that stuff, all that religious nonsense. Will it be indifference? Will you walk out of here and say, oh, that was nice. Nice shining lights and nice songs from the choir. If that is you, if that is where you might leave this room tonight, then please, can I urge you to copy the example of the wise men who, with so little to go on, came to Jesus, and they bowed down, and they worshipped. Will you come to him, risen, ascended? The Bible tells us he's coming again, and will you worship him?